Doc Smo here. Here we go with another edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics. Thanks for joining me today. Well, as I've said before, anxiety has replaced infectious diseases as one of the most frequent disorders pediatricians see regularly. Not all anxious feelings are destructive, however. Being anxious about grades motivates kids to do their homework and to study for tests. Or being anxious about their parents being mad, well, that motivates teens not to stay out too late and to call home to let their parents know where they are. But sometimes anxiety and worry tip a child into an unhealthy state where their worry is destructive to their health. Well, here's a Doc Smo pearl for you to ponder. Anxiety that doesn't lead to an action and ultimate resolution, well, that's anxiety that's destructive. I see this cycle almost every day, so I thought it might be useful to talk about what measures parents can take to help their children should they be anxious and need help. Let's explore anxiety in today's edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Well, what are the common presenting symptoms of anxiety in a child, you ask? Well, there are a lot of different presentations of anxiety and worry in children. In today's world, pediatricians have become experts at recognizing the physical symptoms of worry that manifest in children. We're actually trained at detecting meningitis, pneumonia, diabetes, but we've morphed into experts in psychosomatic illness. Well, here's a list of some of the most common physical symptoms that I see in my patients that are often rooted in anxiety. The child with recurrent headaches or stomach aches. Of course, this is the classic. The child who starts having sleep problems, such as difficulty separating from their parents, frequent nightmares or bedwetting that returns after it has disappeared. The child who complains of being chronically tired when no physical cause can be found. And the child who complains of shortness of breath without that child having a cough or exercise intolerance. Well, this is by no means a complete list, but these are the presentations I see most commonly in very anxious children. If your child exhibits some of these symptoms, consider anxiety as a possible root cause. Now, for some of the behavioral manifestations that might signal excess worry in your children. If your child lacks the confidence to try new things or seems unable to face simple everyday challenges. If your child chronically finds it hard to concentrate. If your child has excessive emotion about food and eating. If your older child is prone to angry outbursts that happen just too frequently, if your child is stuck on negative feelings or is repeatedly thinking that bad things are going to happen, if your child is developing unnecessary rituals to keep bad things from happening, if your child is beginning to avoid everyday activities such as seeing friends or going out in public or attending school because of excess worry, and finally, if your child is acting much younger than their actual age. In other words, their behavior has not progressed or has even regressed compared to children of their own age. I think of all these symptoms require action on the part of parents. So let's talk a little more about what you, the parent, can do to help should you have an anxious child. Okay, you've decided that your child suffers from anxiety. What do you do next? Well, start with an assessment of what is wrong. What is causing your child to be anxious? A lot of parents forget this step, and it can be the most important. Make sure you consider all aspects of your child's life when doing this evaluation, including recent unsettling events, changes in your child's family situation, any serious mood problems among family members, any recent traumatic events in your child's life, or the possibility that your child is being bullied. Additionally, consider if your child is getting too much media consumption or has academic problems at school. Okay, so now you've decided you do have an anxious child. What can a parent do to help? Well, first, talk. This is probably the most important step, especially when your child is open to this kind of conversation, like at the end of the day when they want to avoid bed, or after they've been upset and need to calm down, or when they want something from you. The main point here is that you need to try and hear what your child's fears are and not blow these worries off, but rather emotionally connect to their feelings. Listen and try to understand. You may even be able to impart some of your wisdom after listening to their concerns. Tell them stories of how you handled your own anxious situations in the past and overcame your own anxieties when you were young. Oh, and make sure you recognize and try to correct their misconceptions about their life situation. Misconceptions like, if parents fight, it means they don't love their kids. Or, if a child has trouble with math at school, that means that they're stupid. This is what psychologists call cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. We've talked about this before on Portable Practical Pediatrics, and you may want to check out one of the podcasts that I've listed in the show notes. Give them your version of CBT. It can be very helpful. And finally, focus on solutions. Teach your anxious child strategies that can help them overcome their anxiety. Get your child to get out of the what-if mentality and into the what-is frame of mind. This can be very helpful. Okay, additionally, make sure your child has enough downtime, free play, and exercise. Unstructured play with plenty of exercise is one of the most effective stress relievers known. It's hard to put a lot of emotional energy into being anxious if you're physically tired. Wouldn't you say that's true? And make sure your child has routines, a schedule that is predictable and constant. Children need structure and predictability. Meals should not be missed. Schedules should be adhered to. And parents should tell their kids what to expect as the day unfolds. Routines make them feel secure. And here's another very important tip. Turn off the TV and limit screen time. Some of what is considered entertainment is very disturbing to young children. Even some of the kiddie program. Even Disney can step over the line for some children at times. And the news, oh my gosh. And here's another tip. Make sure you take some time to assess all facets of your child's life and look for sources of stress. Maybe they're trying to do too much, or you are somehow putting too much pressure on them to learn to play the piano or perfect their backhand on the tennis court. As a parent, try not to become too anxious yourself and react to your child's anxiety by becoming overprotective or controlling. And finally, consult your child's pediatrician or mental health professional. They can be extremely helpful in helping sort out minor anxiety from serious problems. They also have some tools at their disposal that can be extremely helpful, like cognitive behavioral therapy and medications that can relieve anxiety. Well, I hope those tips give you a starting point if you have an overly anxious child in your house. Don't forget to consult your child's pediatrician to get their insights. They probably know your child fairly well and can be very helpful. Well, that's today's installment of Portable Practical Pediatrics. If you enjoy learning about child health issues with PEDcast, take a moment to write a review on iTunes. Yes, that helps others find my podcast. And of course, subscribe to my blog at www.docsmo.com. Fresh content will be coming at you regularly, I promise. My goal is to give you accurate, insightful information that you can use in your parenting journey. Well, thanks for joining me today. This is your host, Dr. Paul Smolin. You know, Doc Smo, hoping if you have an anxious little one, trying these tips may help a ton. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.